Come on, come on, come on. Give it up for everybody that served yesterday. Listen, I want to tell you thank you for going out and making a difference yesterday. We're going to do it one life at a time, 1 minute at a time, whatever it takes. We want to be the hands and feet of Christ. And listen, it took an army of us to go hit as many people as we did yesterday. And I just want to tell you thank you. And that's just our heartbeat. That's who we are. We try to do stuff like that on a regular basis. This past Thursday, the leadership, you and a lot of the staff, we served all the police officers, firemen, EMS, county sheriffs, all those guys some food for lunch, just because that's our heartbeat. And we just want to be around people as much as possible, because we feel like if we're around people, then we got an opportunity to influence them towards Jesus. So whatever it takes, we're going to do it. All right. That's who we are. Listen, I am so glad that you are here today. Can we give it up for everybody watching online? Glad you're watching. Hey, for you guys that was here last week, Travis just knocked it out of the park, didn't he? Y'all like, man, I wish Travis was back. All right, listen, he's in Jasper today. Be praying for him. That's where I was at last week. Man, it is awesome to see what God is doing in our Walker County campus and our Jasper campus. It's absolutely incredible. God is just moving in large, large ways. And it's very, very exciting. He's also doing great things in Arab. And so, listen, we are very, very blessed in what God's doing inside our church in a lot of different cities. And hopefully, prayerfully, there will be cities to come. We're looking forward to it, all right? Listen, we've been doing a series on the life of David called Caves and Kingdoms. And I'm hoping that you've enjoyed it. I hope it's something that's kind of connected with you and helped you a little bit. And so, today, we want to continue in that series, all right? And so, you know, if you remember the last couple of weeks, just kind of give you a rundown where we've been. We see David, he gets tapped, anointed king, and he don't go straight to the throne. He goes straight back out into the fields, and he was faithful in the fields. And because he learned to worship God in the fields, God used him in large, large ways. He learned the voice of God there. We also saw basically the last couple of weeks where basically David had to go serve the person before he took the position. He served the person that was in the position that he was one day going to take. And it's amazing what God does in our lives. And we also see that it was a small act of service that led to David's greatest opportunity whenever he took a bunch of cheese biscuits out to the front lines for his brothers. All of a sudden, Goliath comes out. And when Goliath comes out, that's where it marked David's name that day, all right? And so when that happened, there's all kinds of crazy things that started happening with King Saul. You know, King Saul was the king at that time. David got tapped as the next king, anointed for the next king. But what we see is that Saul began to realize, like, all these people are going to start following David instead of me, and crazy things starts happening in Saul. And so we want to talk today about a critical spirit. We want to talk today about what happened with Saul and the difference between Saul and the difference between David and how they handle things. And I'm hoping and praying that this message will connect with you some way, form, or fashion in a large way. Now, there's one thing in this world that drives me personally crazier than anything else in this world. And honestly, that is a critical spirit. Every time I hear somebody being critical, I think about Squidward, all right? From Squidward Tentacles, all right? From SpongeBob. If you don't know who SpongeBob is, that's about my level of comedy. I love SpongeBob. I watch it by myself in the house, even when the kids aren't at home. And so some of you are like, we don't even let our kids watch SpongeBob. Well, I watch it all the time. And so he's incredibly negative. But the big picture is that critical people just drive me crazy, because there's got to be more to life than just being critical about everything and everybody and finding fault about everything. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think all of us in this room, including the one standing in front of you, have been guilty of a critical spirit. Some of us more than others. But I need you to understand is a critical spirit in your life will handicap you from living out who God's called you to be in large ways. And we're going to talk about that today. You know, I went to, me and my family went to eat at a Japanese restaurant here not too long ago. I think most of you know which one I'm talking about, because they cook out in front of you and get the fire going and sizzle your eyebrows, and you have to, you got a big forehead because your eyebrows are completely gone. And so basically we're there, and I see some people that I know at one of the tables, which, by the way, you don't know anybody at the tables. They're all sitting there and you're just kind of, don't know anybody there. Well, I knew one family that was at another table, and so I go over and say hey to them, and some woman sitting beside them looks at me and says, "Hey, aren't you that pastor from Desperation Church?" No, ma'am. No, ma'am. It's not me. It's this guy over here. I knew what was coming. I could just tell in her voice. I said, yes, ma'am. That happens to me. That's me. Yeah, that's me. She says, yeah, you know, I've listened to you a few times. You're okay. You're okay. Well, I'm glad I got a 3 from you or 4 from you at least. Thank you. Appreciate you. You're all right. I've listened to you. And then she says in front of all these people I've never met in my entire life, as loud as she could, she brings up a pastor's name. She says, what do you think about, so-and-so, pastor so-and-so? I'm like, oh, dear Lord Jesus. And honestly, I was just as truthful and as honest as I could be because I didn't know what else to do in that moment. And so I just shot straight with her in front of everybody. I said, ma'am, I don't talk about other pastors because I am one, and I know exactly what it feels like to have people talk about you. So we're just going to leave it right there. I think he's probably a great man. Just left it. Now, the big picture is she didn't say nothing else besides, thank you, brother. I'm glad you used the Bible and you're an okay preacher. Okay, as long as I get okay, it's better than thumbs down, all right? We good. But I went and sat down. I was like, why even bring that up in front of a lot of people to downgrade somebody with a critical spirit right there in front of people that don't even know who this guy is? I was like, having a critical spirit is going to be something that handicaps us in large, large ways. And so I want to talk about a critical spirit. Now, there's a huge, gigantic difference between a person with a critical spirit versus a person who gives constructive criticism. Constructive criticism and a critical spirit are two totally different things. Constructive criticism, honestly, is a very healthy thing. It makes you better when you have somebody in your life that loves you that's willing to give you constructive criticism. Now, let me give you the difference between a critical spirit and constructive criticism. Now, we need to get somewhere, all right? A critical spirit is an obsessive attitude of criticism and fault finding. It's obsessive. It's something that happens more than not. It seeks to tear other people down. Not the same thing as what is sometimes called constructive criticism. The only criticism that is ever constructive is that which is expressed in love to build up, not to tear down. Two totally different things. It always is expressed face to face, never behind the back. Ruh-roh. It's always expressed face to face because I love you and I want to build you up. And I'm going to give you some constructive criticism because we all have blind spots. We all need a friend in our life who gives us loving, constructive criticism to help make us better. So the person with a critical spirit usually dwells on the negative. They seek flaws rather than good. They're a complainer, usually always upset, which produces a lot of anger. Generally have a problem or a complaint about something or somebody. Anybody know somebody like that? Throw your hands up. Throw your hands up. Wave them in the air like you just don't care. All right? Listen, I don't want you thinking about somebody else right now. I want you to allow God to take his divine flashlight, go into the depths of your soul and show you. Because all we can do during this time is find fault with somebody else that might be critical, then you might miss your fault finding. we being critical, having a critical spirit about somebody having a critical spirit. All right? So think on that for a little while. Listen, they're a complainer, usually always upset, generally have a problem or complain about something. They often have little control over their tongue, their temper, and have tendencies for gossip and slander, which Paul says in Romans 1, 29 through 32, that these sins are worthy of death. That he hates them. It's really, really quiet in here. Did you say death? No, Paul did. You can go read it for yourself. In simpler terms, these people who have a critical spirit, who have an obsessive attitude of criticism, they seek out destruction more than to do restoration. People who want to restore or construct, they give constructive criticism. People who want to destroy have a critical spirit. They may come in the name of Jesus, but still have a critical spirit. There's a lot of people that have a critical spirit that comes in the name of Jesus. Happens all the time in churches. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. People who give constructive criticism in love have a heart to restore. People who are critical and usually envious, because that's where most critical spirits come from, usually envious, they want to destroy. So a critical spirit is produced out of a desire to control. That's what Saul wanted to do with David. He wanted to control him. A critical spirit is produced out of a desire to control, or maybe a controlling spirit. Listen, you want to get a little deeper, I keep saying spirit. It's very demonic. I just go ahead and throw it out there for you. I don't want to freak anybody out, but the enemy is in control. When it's obsessive attitude of always finding fault, there's reasons for that. We're coming around to it. So a critical spirit is produced out of a desire to control, or maybe a controlling spirit. And so we see this with Saul and with David. So here's David. He just defeated Goliath, knocked that joker to the ground, cut his head off, and carried it around with him everywhere he went. That's the honest truth. He carried around Goliath's head. And I really believe that the reason why he carried around Goliath's head is to show all the Israelites who were running from the Philistines that our God is greater than any army that's ever put before you. And so I want you to say how God our great is. We cut the head off the giant. So he carried his head around. Bloody, nasty Goliath head. Stanky, flies everywhere, nasty head. All right? So David destroyed Goliath. And guess who gets upset? King Saul. This is what it says in 1 Samuel 18:5 through 11. It says, whatever Saul asked David to do, now remember these four words, David did it successfully. Everything, whatever Saul asked David to do, David did it successfully. So Saul made him a commander over the men of war, an appointment that was welcomed by the people and Saul's officers alike. Remember that? When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine, chopped his head off, carried around the head, women, ladies are involved. Women from all over the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. But they wasn't there to brag on King Saul. They sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. This was their song. Saul has killed his thousands. Okay, that was really cheesy. And David has killed his 10,000s. This made Saul very angry. What's this? He said. They credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands? Next, he's getting prophetic on us. He had no clue what he was saying. Next, they'll be making him their king. And they did. So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Critical spirit will always come out of an envious, jealous eye. One thing I preached on envy several times here, because it's the common sin that supposedly nobody has. It's the most common sin that nobody has. In other words, all of us have probably inside of us envy and jealousy, but nobody ever talks about it. So he kept a jealous eye on David. The very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman. David was playing the harp as he did each day, but Saul had a spear in his hand and he suddenly chunked that thing. He chunked it. He hurled a spear at David, intended to pin him to the wall. But David was like, too quick, reflexes too fast for you, baby. But David escaped him twice. David escaped him. The critical spirit from jealousy and envy and wanting to control David was so strong that he couldn't take it no more, that he tried to kill him. We might not pick up spears and chunk them at people, but we try to kill people on a regular basis because it's so easy to carry the same critical spirit that Saul did. So what's my first point? First point of the day is success will always produce critics. Success produces critics. Now listen, you can easily become a critic over somebody else's success, or you can have success and be the target of other critics. Happens on a regular basis, one way or the other. We're going to probably talk a little bit more about this next week, and anybody that's heard me preach on envy, let me give you the definition of envy. Envy is the inner pain that we all feel over somebody else's success. Did you hear me? I want to say it again. Envy. You want a definition of envy? Here's a definition of envy. Envy is the inner pain that we feel over somebody else's success. We probably don't tell nobody. We may celebrate with them on the outside and smile all fake and like, but the big picture is deep down inside, we really don't like them that much. whenever somebody else is successful and is getting more praise than we are. The Bible says that whatever Saul asked David to do, David did it successfully. So everything that David did, he was successful. How about this? Everybody loved David. Saul's army, the soldiers, loved David. The ladies, the women loved David. The people of Israel loved David. And how about this? All of these things were things that Saul prided himself in. And he began to realize that he was about to lose control of everything that he put his pride in because they started following somebody else and praising somebody else. You know, if you look at verse 2 in chapter 18, if you went back a little bit, in the verse that we just read, we started in verse 5. If you go back to verse 2, you see that Saul moved David in next to him and wouldn't let him return home. In other words, I'm going to keep a close eye on this old boy, and I'm going to make sure he don't get out of hand. I've got to control him. Why? Because I want to make sure that he don't take my place and get the praise that I want, the praise that I deserve. Little did Saul know that he prophetically spoke that David was going to be the next king, and he was. And so, Saul moved him in next close to him. He wanted to keep him close. Listen, when somebody else is getting praise or somebody else is more successful than you in something that you pride yourself in, there's a place where you can birth a critical spirit that will hang on to you forever until you repent and you learn to fight it every single time it raises its head. See, I think all of us have the possibility, and all of us probably have, including the one standing in front of you, have birthed a critical spirit inside of us. But it only takes the Holy Spirit revealing it to us, us repenting of it, and then us fighting against it every time it raises its head in Jesus' name so that we don't walk in it. So I believe that a critical spirit can be birthed in several different ways. I mean, I'm just going to give you a couple. I mean, it really is 40,000 different ways. I'm going to just give you a hint of which direction I'm going. Something that we've already talked about. One of the ways that it can be birthed inside of you is somebody receiving more praise than you. There's a place where we all love the adoration and the praise from other people telling us how great we are. But when somebody is praising the exact same thing that we do, probably more or don't even have to be more. They're just praised in that same area. There's a place inside of us where we really don't like it. Like, I want their praise. I want to rob it from them. I want to steal it from them. I want it for me. You got to put yourself in your context where you do life every day. What is that? Somebody receives more praise than you. What caused Saul to be jealous was the praise that he wanted going to somebody else. All of a sudden, David started receiving the praise that Saul wanted, or that he had. He realized that I've got this praise. I've got control of my soldiers. I've got control of the ladies. I've got control of the people. And he started realizing, like, the praise is starting to leave me slowly but surely, and it's going to somebody else. I'm about to lose control. You know, there's a place where, honestly, Saul could have had a proud daddy moment in a sense. He could have had a proud moment where he could have flipped the script and said, you know what? They are proud of David. David is somebody that I've kind of took under my wings. I've brought him into the kingdom. I'm doing everything I can to prepare him, mentor him for one day being great. And man, I'm so excited that people are following behind this guy. Thank you, God, for what you're doing with David. But he chose the other. He chose to become selfish more than give praise. And it's very easy to get selfish. Honestly, that's where critical spirit comes from. If you really want to get down to the nitty gritty, a critical spirit comes from selfishness. So what does God call us to die to on a regular basis? Ourself. Where does a critical spirit come from? Self-centeredness. It's about me. I want it to be about me. I want it to be about me. See, we don't like talking about these things because we won't really think that none of us have this in us. But we do. It's called sin. And you know, another area that a critical spirit can be birthed is people who have more than you do. Maybe they have things that you want. They have the car that you want to drive, the house you want to live in, the little doggy that you want to have at your house. Well, you got the mutt with the jacked up teeth. And your neighbor's got one of them golden doodles that's as big as a horse. And when you take him outside, you better take him to the woods, because visiting the yard, somebody's getting in it. Listen, that might be too much for church. You got a critical spirit because you keep seeing what everybody else has that you don't have, but you miss the blessing sitting right in front of you. But God's blessed you with what you have. You know, I think a critical spirit can be birthed in several different ways. It can be birthed in looks, the way people look. I mean, especially for the younger generation. I mean, why is everybody duck-facing on Instagram? That might be a thing of the past. I saw the other day they're doing the migraine look. I don't know if y'all have heard the migraine. Like they're pushing their head up like this right here, so it looks like they got a migraine, but that's how they're posing these days. So you can go study that if you want to. I'm trying to get ahead of the curve with the millennials in the house today. So people are prettier than you, or you think it's better looking than you, or somebody's getting praised because how pretty they are, or how good-looking they are. You know, it's amazing the labels that people put on other pretty people. Like, oh my gosh, they're just snobs. You got to find something wrong with them. Or you know how much Mary Kay it took for that girl to get that face like that? Oh my gosh. Let me tell you something. There's lots of shots in that face. That stuff's surgery, lots of money to look that good. No way possible she looks that good. You got to find something with a critical spirit to hammer down because they looking pretty. I ain't going to leave the guys out. There ain't no way. There ain't no way that boy's that big. You know he's doing steroids somewhere. I don't know. He's probably eating a lot of steaks. I don't know what he's doing. But it's amazing how we can look at other people and we begin to get critical because they're getting praise where some way, form, or fashion, we won't praise. They're just part of the popular crowd. Oh, they're just cliques. There's somebody you want to hang out with, other people hanging out with, so you got to find something wrong with them. So they're just a clique. Critical spirit. It's everywhere. You know, I could go on and 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 on. The way that the critical spirit can raise his head and be birthed. But I don't have time because I want to hit on one area that scares me to death for church. I really believe that the number one thing, the number one way that the enemy attacks the church, not desperation, yes, desperation too, but churches in general, the number one way that the enemy attacks churches is a critical spirit. Number one. If the enemy can get us to buy into a critical spirit and we find somebody else inside the church that has a critical spirit and we can get together and we can share our opinions together, we're going to start a fire. And here's the big picture. The enemy knows that if he can get a critical spirit going inside the people at a church, then guess what happens? It causes disunity. And what's the number one main ingredient that God desires for revival and a movement of God inside a church? It's unity. So the enemy knows if I can get people inside the church critical about anything at all inside the church, then the enemy knows he wins. Why? Because unity is a key ingredient to a movement. To God moving. The place where a critical spirit should not take place is probably one of the number one places that a critical spirit takes place is inside a church. It's every way possible. You know, bless God, I just don't know if I like that pastor, man. He's just not deep enough. Just not deep enough. Or I didn't understand a thing that pastor was saying. He just talked completely over my head. I don't like what that pastor's wearing. That worship pastor had on some roses on his shirt. I just want to go up and smell them. Listen. Critical spirits like worship. You know, I just don't like the worship's incredibly too loud. Uh-oh, I just hurt somebody's feelings in the house. By the way, it's good. Y'all, we got earplugs somewhere here. Listen, I'm just glad you come. Or how about they're not singing the songs I want? That's not the songs I like. We need to play different songs. It's amazing how we get to a place of getting critical about worship. Get critical about finances. I just don't like where they're spending the money. Well, serious? Like if churches put the money where every individual family wanted the money to go, it would be impossible. And by the way, If your thought process is, I'm not going to tithe, but this is cool, go for any church. So hopefully somebody's watching online right now, because I know Desperation Church don't do this. And so people are watching online. Listen, if you don't tithe because I just don't like what they're doing with the money, then you've got a wrong mindset on why tithe, why you tithe. You don't tithe because I want my money to go where I want it to go. You tithe because God told you to, and you do it out of obedience to the place you're getting spiritually fed and your family's getting spiritually fed. That's why you tithe. You don't, it's disobedience if you don't, straight up disobedience. And you can come up with all the excuses you want to. You're missing out on blessing. There's no way you can meet every need. We're going to meet the needs that God's called us to. You think about like, well, I don't like the staff, or I don't like the small group leader. I don't like the way they do evangelism. They need to do it this way. I don't like the building. It's too light. It's too dark. It's too many. What? You can't make everybody happy. But if you can find one person, boy, we can start a forest fire that agrees with me. Hey, can I tell you, because a critical spirit is so strong in most churches, why in the world would any lost person ever want to come to a church like that? Why would anybody from outside the church ever want to come to an organization where everybody's critical about everything and everybody? Why don't we find the blessings? Why don't we find that we have 40 people baptized last month? Why don't we find that we have 100 some people say, we're so focused on fault finding that we miss the blessings that's taking place inside churches? Hey, let me tell you something. You go ahead and mark my word on this. Every church that's ever split, good, healthy churches that split, always started with a critical spirit. 90-something percent of them. Now, there's a great possibility there might be a few that might be a little different, but every one of them started with a critical spirit inside the church because somebody didn't like church. Can I tell you what that reveals inside the church? The church, all we preach is selflessness, 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 but it's amazing how often we live selfish, 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 selfish. What can this church do for me instead of what can I do for this church? The mindset inside our churches has got to change to, Jesus has taught me to be selfless, and I give because God calls me to. I go and serve because God calls me to. I worship even though I don't like the music because God calls me to. I do the things that God calls me to because I love Jesus and it's not about me in this church. Yeah. Come on. Now listen, if you go to another church, then you need to listen to. We can't be critical. Don't be going around talking about, I don't like this, I don't like that. You can't make everybody happy. It's impossible. So you be obedient to Jesus and go where he called you to go. You know what I love? I love our senior adults in our church. I've never met so many caring, loving senior adults in our church than ours. Man, they are so fired up for the next generation, and they celebrate. Everyone I've ever been around celebrates every win. And you know that there's a great possibility. The music don't register with them. A lot of times the messages like, Dear Lord Jesus, what is he saying? But I'm just glad that we got kids here who are worshiping, falling in love with Jesus, and helping lead the church and moving in the direction that God's called us to move. And I love, can we give it up for our senior adults that's in the house? Got a 94, 95, 96, I don't know, you lose time. She's 94, 95, I can't remember what her. Listen, she keeps the babies in the back. We got a 90-something-year-old woman keeping babies in the back because she just loves them, loves our church. It fires me up. I have a passion to leave a legacy. So, we need to fight. Especially as Desperation, we're blessed because we really don't have a lot of problems, a lot of issues. All right? Not unless I don't know about it. But we don't ever need to get there. Church isn't about us. It's about him. It's about the people that's not here yet. Yes, we do grow spiritually, but we're going after people. All right? So, here's the difference between David and Saul. While one lost the anointing of God and while one was called a man after God's own heart. Saul wanted to look right in front of others. David wanted to look right in front of God. Big difference. Saul wanted to look right. He wanted praise for himself. He wanted to make a platform for himself in front of other people. David just had one platform, and that was to God. He wanted to look right in front of God. And so because of that, David's heart was right. God raised David up, and we read about his legacy today, and we're doing a whole series on him because of the way he walked with God. You don't see us doing a series on Saul. As a matter of fact, we're using all the negative things about Saul. Why? Because he was a critical man. Big difference. The second thing, critics cause chaos. Not constructive criticism, that's healthy. Critics, a critical spirit, causes chaos. People really think that being critical causes them to win in life. Man, if I just get more people to agree with me, I'll win. No, you don't. You lose. In actuality, it causes you to lose. It produces death in you. It causes your heart to get hard. It causes bitterness to set up. It's dangerous. It's bad. It's nasty. Produces death in you and causes you to honestly to sin more. You become more bitter and you become more fault-finding. Once you get a little taste of it and you don't repent of it, it begins to taste good, but that candy's got poison in the middle of it. I want you to think about all the people in the Bible who chose to be critical over being grateful. Think about all the people in the Bible that chose to be critical more than seeing the blessings. And what do we read about these people? I want you to think about it. I'm just going to give you a few illustrations. Hey, what about Cain? Cain and Abel? He got jealous because God accepted Abel's, not Cain's, turned into a critical spirit so much so that he killed his brother. Did we hear any more about Cain? No. You know what we heard about Cain? He was cursed and sent off to a different land. Why? Because he turned into a critical spirit. His heart was hard. Why? Because somebody else received praise other than him. You know, I think about Joseph's brothers. They threw him in a pit, left him for dead. He gets carried off to Egypt. Who do you hear about? The brothers had a critical spirit about Joseph. They thought they were doing a good thing. If we can just get rid of him, if we can find a way to get rid of him, let's do it. They got a critical spirit. They were jealous. Envious of their brother. God raised the brother up. And you never hear anything else about the brothers until they come years later before their brother and bow down before him. Critical spirit don't get you anywhere. They thought they were doing a good thing. David's brothers were critical. They were dogging him when he brought cheese biscuits out to the front line. Like, who do you think you are trying to fight Goliath? We got great mighty warriors and you're just a shepherd boy. They were jealous because he got tapped king. They know who got tapped king. Eliab was mad. Think about Miriam was critical of Moses and Aaron. By the way, I don't know if you see a running theme. It's amazing how many of these are family members. The ones I've shared with you to begin with are all family. It's funny how you can get critical of family members quicker, the ones you're supposed to love the most, quicker than you can anybody else. If I was to come inside your house, could we peg a critical spirit? Get outside the family members. How about 42 kids got mauled by two she-bears for being critical of Elisha's bald head? All the bald people in the house said, amen, bless God. Where the bears at, baby? Don't be making fun of my old bald head. Mauled 42 kids. I don't think they sound like a cat. Roar. I don't know what they sounded like. Took them out, baby. Why? Because they were critical. God hates it. Who taught the kids how to do that? Probably mom and dad. Something you grow up with. Hello. Somebody's calling. Jesus, how you doing? Listen, Pharisees and Sadducees were critical of Jesus. The church people, the Bible thumpers, the one that knew the Bible backwards and forwards, were critical to Jesus. Not only were they critical, they killed him. They didn't know that The devil overplayed his hand, and Jesus rose from the grave 3 days later, and now he brings hope and life to other people. Come on. These are all people. Listen, we can go on and on with other critical people in the Bible. What do we read about these people? Nothing but the negative. When we talk about these people who had a critical spirit because of jealousy and envy, all we do is talk about the negative. Why? Because they were selfish people focused on themselves, wanting somebody else's praise. These are people, these are all people who didn't do much with their lives. I want you to listen to me, hone in. They spent their whole life finding fault with other people. They spent their whole life with a critical spirit, and they couldn't use their life to focus on the good of others and the blessings in their life, and they wasted their lives on themselves. They wasted their lives on themselves. They wasted their lives on themselves. Because all they could do in their life is because I want to be known. I want the platform. I want the stage. I want people to know me. I've got to find fault in everybody that I come in contact with so that I can make myself feel better. You know, you can call it insecurity if you want to. I'm pretty sure it's psychology also, or psychiatrist or whatever. I don't know, something with a P. But the big picture is, and so was Saul. It really reveals when we're fault-finding, obsessed with being critical, that we're really incredibly selfish people, that I don't really want other people to succeed, especially in the field that I'm in. Critical people are never satisfied until they can find fault with somebody else to make themselves feel better. These guys did nothing with their lives. But I want you to think about all the people that we read about today in Scripture who actually did something with their life. The ones that we preach about, the ones that we raise up, the ones that God used were always people who wanted to pour into others and celebrate other people's wins. They were people who weren't about themselves. And they're the ones that left the legacy. They're the ones we talk about today. A critical spirit. So let's just flip it around. Let's just say that critics are after you. Let's say that critics hate your success. And you feel it. You know people are talking about you. You know people are hammering you. People are having false accusations about you. People are just hammering down because you're successful and they're not, and you know they're out to get you. Well, what I would tell you to do is, number one, remain silent and let God fight for you. Remain silent and let God fight for you. You know, there's times that I pray in my own personal life because I know what it's like to be attacked. As I pray Daniel 6:22, God, close the mouths of the lions in Jesus' name. Close the mouths of the lion. I think about Exodus 14:13-14. It says, but Moses told the people, don't be afraid. So when you're successful, the critics come out of the woodwork. The number one thing the enemy wants to produce with critics is fear in your own personal life. You can't walk in that. You got to learn how to trust God. Don't be afraid. Just stand still. Don't move. Don't budge. Don't go out and try to fix it. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. So you've been attacked today because God's blessed you. Keep your mouth closed. Trust the Lord to fight for you. Stand still. Let the Lord fight your battles and stay calm. Why? Because He wins. And when He wins, you win. I'd say serve these people. Just pour, listen, pour salt in the wound. When you know somebody is a critic, just serve them. That's easy to say, by the way. David served Saul as Saul was literally throwing spears at him. He continued to serve him. What? This dude chunking spears at me? You expect me to serve? Yes. And guess who got raised up? God raised up David. And then what I'd say is, don't get caught in their trap. Don't get caught in the same trap they're in. Don't let their critical spirit give you a critical spirit. Critical spirits are incredibly contagious. So when people are critical of you, the worst thing you can do is be critical back. It's a trap of the enemy. Remain silent, stay calm, stand still, and let the Lord fight for you. Let the Lord fight. So, question of the day. Do you have a critical spirit? Listen, this is one of those messages where, like, oh my goodness. I sure hope I don't. Well, just ask the Lord, He'll reveal it to you. That's why I love God's mercy and His grace, that He still pursues us even with critical spirits. And what I would say is repent. Turn from it. Repent. Turn from it. And then you fight every single day that when it raises its head, you in Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, begin to put it to death and don't act on it. Don't act on it. When you have an opportunity to act on it, just don't act on it. Fight it. It's a war. It's a war. It's a war every single day of battling your selfishness where God wants us to walk selfless. Don't get caught in the trap. You need to pray dangerous prayers. Pray a dangerous prayer of, God, every time I'm critical of somebody because of their success or their praise, please reveal, which, by the way, once again, is 40,000 different ways. God's going to have to reveal your own context to you. Please reveal my jealousy and my envy and my desire to be known and build where I want to build my own kingdom instead of your kingdom. Please reveal to me my critical spirit that comes from jealousy and wanting to be in control. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. You know how you start? Is you just pray dangerous prayers, because here's what's going to happen. When you pray a prayer and you're genuine with it in your heart, if God showed me where I have a critical spirit, He'll do it. And then you just repent and you fight it every single day to give life to other people. Don't give death with your tongue. You give life with your tongue. You give life behind their backs and to their face. You give life. You give life. You give life. You give life. Don't produce destruction. Produce restoration. That's the heart of God. The heart of God is restoration, not destruction. So let's do it together. Let's change the world. Let's be a church that's not critical about other people in the church. Let's have a heart for Jesus, carry His heartbeat, and be who God's called us to be. And be an example to the world around us what Christ looks like. So that when people walk into this place, they recognize this place is different. It's because people here love God and love other people. We love each other. All right? Listen, leave a legacy by celebrating others and enjoying their success. Fight it tooth and nail. Fight, fight, fight. It's a war, all right? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We honor You. We praise You. Thank You, Jesus, for teaching us how to become more like You. Lord, Saul and David were two totally different people. Saul chose to walk in a critical spirit. David chose to walk in gratefulness. And so, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that we'd be a people that desire to walk in gratefulness, that we make that decision and be thankful for the blessings that lay in front of us. Help us not to find fault with everything and everybody, not to have a critical spirit. God is so destructive. It's corrosion in our souls. Help us to be the people of God You've called us to be. Help us to lift each other up. Hey, if you're here today with nobody looking around and you'd say, Andy, I've never given my life to Jesus Christ. Never given my life to Jesus Christ. Man, I'd love to have a relationship with God. I desire a relationship with Jesus. I desire a relationship with Jesus. I don't have a relationship. Would you tell me how to have a relationship with God? Listen, it would be an honor. It would be an honor for me to share with you how to have a relationship with God if you'd let me do it. Listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm not going to point you out. But just so I know, I have somebody here who wants a relationship with the Father, a relationship with God. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three. And all I want you to do, just so I know I have somebody here, I want you to put your hand up, and I want you to put it right back down. All right, I'm going to count to three. Put your hand up and put it right back down. You want a relationship with God? Here we go. One, two, three. Put your hand up. One, two, three. Come on. Where you at? Anybody else? Listen, four. I see my brother. Come on. Anybody else? For those that raised their hand, come on, there's another one. I hear you, brother. Listen, maybe for the ones watching on TV or online, people who are in this room, the Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth, to believe in your heart that he's raised again on the third day, and the Bible says, and you will be saved. So confess Jesus as Lord. Lord, I don't want to be Lord of my life anymore. I want you to be Lord. God, you take I pull out my white flag. I surrender. God, I believe that you died on the cross. You paid the penalty of my sin. I know there's no other way to get to the Father but through Jesus. I believe that you died, that you took on the penalty of my sin. You took on the wrath of God. I believe that you were buried for 3 days, and on that third day, you rose from the grave, and that today you are alive and you are well with my best interest out. So, Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. So if you're here and you want to give your life to Christ, you want to place your trust in the work of the cross, the work of the death and burial of Jesus and the resurrection, it says to confess with the Lord. So I feel like the first thing we need to do, first step, was we need to talk to him. All right? So you can say your own prayer and you repeat after me. You say, Jesus, I confess you as Lord. I turn from my sin. I believe that you died on the cross. You paid the penalty of my sin, something that I cannot do, that you did for me. I believe that through your love, you took on the wrath of God. I believe that you were buried, and on the third day, you rose from the grave, and that today, you are alive and you are well, pursuing me. And I want to tell you, thank you, Jesus. And Jesus, I want a relationship with you today. Would you have me? And so if you're here today, and you just prayed to receive Jesus, and you just gave your life to Christ, can we celebrate with them, Desperation Church? Come on. Listen, we are so excited for you that you just gave your life to Christ. Now, let me challenge you, all right? That's just your first step. We got another step for you, all right? Your second step is you need to learn more about your journey with God. And so we want to give you some next steps. We feel like the best way to do that is if you'll text DC1, take your phone out, text DC1 to the number that you see on the screen. It'll be up here for a little while. Text DC1 to the number you see on the screen. We will. You'll have some things come up, and we're going to give you some next steps in how to follow Christ. Listen, in a couple of weeks we'll be having baptism. They're going to tell you the first thing that needs to happen in your next step of obedience is baptism. All right. So I want to challenge you to be baptized here in a few weeks. We'd love to have a whole lot of people baptized. All right. And then if you've not been baptized, you need to do that anyway. If you don't have a phone and you have a connection card in your chair, pull that connection card out, fill it out, and just drop it in one of these baskets as you leave, okay? Hey, if you're here today and you say, Andy, would you pray for me? It might be a critical spirit, or it just might be something going on in your life. You just need some prayer. If that's you, would you just throw your hands up? Are you here? Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. We praise you. We lift you up, and we glorify you. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for who you are and for what you're going to do in our lives. May we be a church that's an example of how we speak life more than we do death. And that we don't walk into critical spirit. We do that with our spouses. We do that with our kids. We do that behind people's backs, and we do it to their face. That God, we're not like Saul, but we're more like David. That we're not like Cain, but we're more like Abel. That God, we would be who you've called us to be. So Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we lift you up in your precious and holy name. And everybody say it.